days when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel, before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they, that is Mary and Joseph, brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So they're in the temple, and they're offering a sacrifice that the law commands for the newborn, firstborn son. And then we read, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God, and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day, and coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And so we have a number of people, but Simeon in particular we want to focus on, who were waiting for God's promise to be fulfilled, for this Messiah to be born. Well, you know, as we think about our world today, it's almost certain to say that there has never been a time in human history since the Garden of Eden when mankind has been entirely free from the turmoil and strife with which all of us are far too familiar. Whether it be on the international scene or in family relationships or in the one-on-one interaction between colleagues at work or neighbors across the backyard fence, or even in the hidden strife of human hearts, disagreement and discord and enmity and hard feelings plague all of us. They're all too common an experience for each one of us. Peace on earth, a nice sentiment, but far too rare a reality in the lives of most people. Of course, if we believe that the Bible is true, we don't have any trouble understanding why there is such a lack of harmony in human hearts and human relationships. Ever since Adam and Eve turned their back on God in the Garden of Eden, we've all inherited and been plagued by a self-centeredness. A self-centeredness that we can't completely escape, a self-centeredness that dogs our footsteps and affects all of our relationships. That is why the Christmas event is such good news. The birth of Jesus Christ that was heralded by angels some 2,000 years ago ushered in an age of hope. The Savior's birth was a harbinger of the coming peace of God, a peace that would rule in human hearts, and a peace that will eventually conquer the world. We haven't seen that yet, but we see it happening little by little. As the prophet Isaiah predicted some 400 or 700 years before Jesus was born, he wrote, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. So this morning, as we've gathered to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus in anticipation of Christmas Day, I would invite you to consider the words of Simeon that we've just read, that you've just heard about, as he has witnessed the birth of Christ and experienced the presence of Christ himself. Simeon was waiting eagerly for the arrival of this peace-bringing child, and his words would teach us that God has provided the consolation for which all of us long in the person of his Son. So I would just like to focus on that for a few moments. First of all, God's consolation is what we all need. We read in verses 25 and 26 these words, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. At the time of the first Christmas, Simeon was an old man, and he was a man looking forward to the accomplishment of redemption for Israel. He was waiting for God's people, or he was waiting, like many of God's people, for God's Messiah, what Luke calls the consolation of Israel." Now, in many ways, Simeon is a bit like most of us. Is there anyone here today who doesn't need some comfort and encouragement? As we go through life, we have good times and times we're thankful for, but they're always tinged with the knowledge that just around the corner, sooner or later, there are going to be the hard times, the negative things, the discouragements. And so we need that consolation and comfort that really comes not from human beings, not from circumstances, but from God. Comfort, encouragement. That's what the word consolation means. Simeon was looking for that from God. And he was looking for a person who would bring that comfort and consolation. And isn't that just what people need today? Isn't that what we all need in our relationships? Isn't that what we need deep down within in our hearts? Because our hearts and our relationships tend to be marked more by strife than by peace. We see that on the international scene, but of course, nations are just groups of people. And when nations don't get along, it's just a mirror image of what happens in individual relationships far too often. Old Simeon, like all of us, lived in a world full of tears and troubles, a world full of hard times and hurting hearts. Like all of us, and I trust this is true of you, he was looking for comfort and encouragement. But he was especially looking for the comfort that God had promised long before, many years before, through his prophets, the consolation of Israel. Down through history, people have always had good reasons, humanly speaking, to be discouraged. And in our day, many are out of work, there's no economic security, there's always the threat of terrorism, there doesn't seem to be peace, the cost of living continues to soar, there's flu pandemics threatening, wars never far away. Well, you probably don't want me to keep going on because it just gets depressing, doesn't it? Of course, there's the flood of broken relationships that many of us know far too well, and hurting people whom we all know. It's easy to become discouraged. It's hard to see beyond our troubles. But God has an answer. And that answer is what we're celebrating this morning and over the next couple of weeks as we think about the coming of his Son. And that's really what Christmas is all about, the consolation that we seek. And so then we see, secondly, that God's consolation comes to us in the person of his Son. Simeon is waiting. He goes into the temple. It had been revealed to him that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And when he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." God's provision of consolation really comes, according to Simeon's experience, in two ways. First, it comes in the fulfillment of his promise in the person of his Son. So Simeon comes into the temple not long after Jesus is born, and there he sees Jesus. God had promised him that that would take place before he died. It's very likely, though we can't be sure, that Simeon was probably quite old. But he believed God's promise, and he came looking for this special person, and when he came into the temple that day, God kept his promise. So Joseph and Mary brought Jesus into the temple to do what the law required, and Simeon picks him up. And what does he do when he's holding this baby? He praises God. Why is that? Well, verses 29 to 31 tell us why, and they give us the secret for you and me to find hope and peace and even joy, even in spite of our circumstances. Simeon was filled with peace, and he was full of joy and praise to God because God had kept his promise. God had kept his promise. Imagine Simeon waiting all these years, and now he's holding a baby in his arms who is, in fact, God in human flesh. One of my profs back in college days used to say, with a sense of wonder, that Simeon was holding God in his arms. Isn't that amazing? And so he is filled with peace. He says in verse 30, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." In other words, that's why he had experienced peace. He had seen the Savior whom God had given to the world and the salvation that God had prepared, a salvation that consists in the removal of our sin, giving us a clean slate before God and reconciliation to our Creator. You see, the problem with the strife and the pain and the discouragement and the hurt that we all experience is because we are separated from the one who made us. But this baby was born in fulfillment of promise to bring us back into relationship with our Creator. And so Simeon rejoices in the fulfillment of the promise, and you and I can know the same peace that Simeon knew when we understand that this promise God has made has been kept for us as well. He has provided a Savior. He is a faithful God. And as John 3:16 tells us, he so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That is the promise. And that is the promise that gives us peace. But not only do we find comfort in the faithfulness of God revealed in the fulfillment of his promise, God provides consolation in revealing himself to us as well. And he reveals himself to us in the very person of his Son, this baby that was born. One of the things that Jesus said he came to do was not only to die for our sins, but also to reveal God to us so that we might know what he is like. He shows us God. And as Simeon declares here, he is a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to God's people Israel. Our problem is that we don't know God. Our problem is that God is distant. He seems far away. But it's not because he doesn't want to be known. It's because our rebellion against him has separated us from him. But Jesus came to reveal God anew by removing our sin, by restoring us into relationship with God and reconciling us to him. He is a God-revealing Savior. And Simeon understood that even as he held the child in his arms. But this Savior who brings God's salvation and reveals what God is like reveals as well God's glory to us. God's glory, the revelation of God's nature, which in a sense is overwhelming. And in the Old Testament scriptures, which was the Bible in Simeon's day, God's glory is a way of describing God's presence. In other words, this baby whose birth we remember came into the world to bring God's presence to us. He came as one who would reveal God to us. His name was called Emmanuel. 7 centuries before he was born, the prophet Isaiah was given that message that he would be called Emmanuel. And the word Emmanuel means God with us. You see, God is taking the initiative to come to you and me wherever we are, whatever our situation, whatever the state of our hearts. He is coming to us in the person of his Son that we might know him. And because of Jesus Christ, it is possible for you and me to know God's presence in our own experience and to know him as our Father, a God who loves us. So Simeon, as he was looking for God's comfort and encouragement, found what he was looking for that day in the temple. An old man, close to the end, and he could now depart in peace. The same is true for each of us. The same promise is offered to us. And when we see Jesus for ourselves, when the light goes on and we realize that the living Christ makes himself available to you and me, even today, 2,000 years after our death, after his death, we will now see life in a different light. Our troubles will no longer seem so overwhelming. When we see Christ by faith, we realize that God is really in the picture, and he's with us. He cares about us, and he's drawn close to us by sending his Son. And so the result, like for Simeon, for us, when we put our trust in this child who grew to be a man, who lived a life of perfect obedience to his Father, and then who died a death on the cross whereby he bore our sins in his body, he bore the punishment we deserve. When we put our trust in him, then we too can experience the peace and joy that Simeon experienced, no matter what our circumstances. Well, we might ask ourselves, why is it that everyone doesn't experience this peace and joy at Christmas time? Well, the story of Simeon also gives us a hint about that. And it is simply this, that God's consolation comes to those and only those who trust him by the power of his Holy Spirit. We read in verses 25 and 27 the truth that we are all dependent on the grace of God to open our eyes to the truth of our need and his provision. You see, I can tell you that your lives may be struck with misery and sorrow and trouble, and you may even agree with me, I think most of us probably would, but to believe that Jesus is the answer to that, our hearts are hardened. We need his mercy, and he's a merciful God. As he did with Simeon, his Spirit opens eyes. And so we read in verse 25, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." In verse 27, "He came in the Spirit into the temple." You see, God drew Simeon to himself. He opened Simeon's eyes to see. And you and I are in the same boat. If you're here today and this just seems like religious service and big deal, it doesn't mean anything to me, recognize that that's the state of every human being until God opens our eyes. We need to recognize how dependent we are on the Creator for everything. Is there anybody here that planned their own birth? Anybody pick their own parents? Anybody choose their birthday? You see, that was all out of our hands, wasn't it? We are far more dependent on our Creator than we care to admit. But the reality is we are dependent on him. And when it comes to understanding the truths of the gospel and the hope of eternal life, we need to turn to him and cry out, "Lord, have mercy on me. Open my eyes. Help me to understand." Simeon tells us that God is merciful and gracious, and he hears our prayers when we sincerely call on him. You know, even as a baby, Jesus Christ provoked extreme reactions. King Herod tried to kill him. Wise men from the east fell down and worshipped him. And basically, as we think about the promise and the offer of God's consolation at Christmas, there are only two responses to this child that we can make. We can respond by rejecting him. We read in verse 34, "Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed.' He also said in an aside to Mary, 'And a sword will pierce through your own soul also.' But he is a sign to be opposed. A sign points to the activity of God. And that's what Jesus' life, his teaching, his miracles all did, and they continue to do. But he was destined to be a sign spoken against, to be rejected by men as a liar, as a deceiver, as one who was not whom he claimed to be. According to verse 35, he fulfills the divine purpose, which is to reveal the true attitude of human hearts. In other words, that we might not be deceived. We might understand that we, in fact, by nature are in opposition to God. We may be outwardly rebellious, we may just be simply indifferent, but our Creator who made us is on the periphery of our lives by nature. As I mentioned, Simeon speaks in an aside to Mary and warns her of the anguish awaiting in the suffering of her son. There's really a precursor, a premonition there of the fact that Jesus Christ would die a painful death, a humiliating death, a death of great suffering and rejection when he died on the cross. Imagine what that was like for Mary as she saw that. But that's not the end of the story. But the reality is our true attitude and our true relationship to God is shown by our response to Jesus Christ. We can be like King Herod. We can be like many of that day. And so I would ask us the question, even as we prepare for Christmas, what place does Jesus occupy in your life today? Is he at the center of your Christmas? Or have you tried to take him out of Christmas and just have it as an excuse for a holiday? When you think about it, why have it at all if we don't have the one about whom it is centered? We see the grace of God in all of this. He sends Jesus to reveal our hearts to us. Why? Because when we recognize our attitude to God now, while it's still called today, there's still time to repent. There's still time to change our minds. There's still time to change our direction. But that's one possible response. The other response is that we can respond by enthroning him as our king. Simeon blessed them, and he talked about this child who's appointed for the fall and rising of many. We see that the shepherds worshipped him. We see that the wise men came and gave him gifts and worshipped him. Simeon takes him up in his arms and he blesses God and thanks God for him. The wise men came great distance and they fell down and worshipped a baby. And to accept this Messiah, to respond in the right way, is to fall on your face before him, if not physically, at least in the attitude of our hearts. Simeon takes him in his arms and praises God. Now, the interesting thing here is he talks about the fact that he is appointed for the falling and rising of many. In other words, the initial response to Jesus must be a falling before there can be a rising. The order is very important. If we would respond with acceptance, we must fall in humility before he exalts us with joy. I think of the story that Jesus told about a tax collector in the temple who recognized that he was a sinner. There was a very religious man there who was praying to God and telling God how lucky he was that he was his servant. But the tax collector was so broken over his sinfulness, all he could do was beat his breast and say, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And Jesus tells us that that's the man whom God accepted. Peter writes in one of his letters, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you." The reality is that before we can know God in praise and to know the peace and the consolation that he gives, there has to be a falling. There has to be a willingness to take our place before him as guilty sinners and even criminals. But the result when we do that, as Simeon tells us, is a rising. It's spiritual life followed by a physical resurrection at the last day. So Jesus came into the world and was destined to cause the rising of many. A rising to spiritual life and to eternal life, to forgiveness and to adoption by God as sons and daughters, entering into God's favor. The word rising here is the same word that's usually translated resurrection. Ultimately, all who are raised up out of spiritual death into eternal life through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ are those who rise and who will be literally raised from the dead one day. I was just talking with a couple of friends here, and it's been a rough 2 or 3 months for many of us here at Renfrew. People that we know have been taken from us. And in a sense, it's a mixed blessing because we, We know that they are followers of Jesus and they're rejoicing in his presence, and yet we miss them. It was just at a memorial service the day before yesterday. And you know, as we think about that, we need to keep in mind that every one of us are going to be there one day. And so are we ready for that? Have we, in our search for the true meaning of Christmas, have we come to that place where we know something of this falling and rising that Simeon speaks of here? You see, it's possible to miss the Messiah in the midst of Christmas. All the good food, the gifts, and the family get-togethers, and the singing and the memories, all of those are good in and of themselves, but they're not at the center of what Christmas is about. The true meaning of Christmas is found when you and I respond to the Messiah personally by enthroning him as king in our hearts. And those who do so experience God's peace, even as Simeon did. Peace with God, the forgiveness of sin and reconciliation to our Father, and the peace of God, the ability to face the trials of life, and even that ultimate trial, which is coming for all of us one day, death. And so, if we, like Simeon, put our trust in Christ personally, we will know the joy and the thanksgiving that Simeon knew. The question I would ask you today is, are you rejoicing in the Lord Jesus? Are you thankful to God for him? Because that's really the test of whether he is indeed the King of our hearts. So in closing, I would encourage you to ask God, help you to see who Jesus really is. Ask him to send his Holy Spirit to open your eyes to the comfort and the consolation that God has sent into the world when that babe was born in Bethlehem all those years ago. The baby who today is risen from the dead, raised to glory, seated at God's right hand, who is called Emmanuel, God with us, the Prince of Peace, but who is also the Lord of glory, who will return and who will call all of us to account. And we will either be reconciled to him or rejected by him. So my prayer for all of you here today, and we thank you for coming, is that all of us might discover afresh the true consolation of Israel for ourselves this Christmas. So I'm going to ask Sammy and Adrian now to lead us in our closing hymn, which is really